have your Bibles, we'll be using the screen. I want to lift up the 124th division of the Psalms. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Want to use for a thought, remember your help. Remember your help. Church, deliverance is a blessing that oftentimes gets stuck at the bottom of the pile. Oftentimes, when we talk about the blessings of God, in many cases, those things that are our heart's desire, like material things or self-promotion, often lead the line of what we want God to do for us. We want stuff. And oftentimes we forget about substance. We want cash over character, automobiles over assurance, relationships over righteousness. We want security over salvation. We want to be blessed. But I'm afraid that we've gotten to the place where we can't stand or stomach what it truly takes to be blessed by God. You see, the blessings of God don't come easy. And let me clear up this misconception that so many people have as it relates to this thing called a blessing. We oftentimes equate good luck with a blessing. And that's not it. We oftentimes equate good things with a blessing, but that's not it. Church, our blessing is not in the results, but your blessing is in the process. Lord, have mercy. A true blessing is when you have been placed in a predicament, in a posture when you can't do anything for yourself and all you can do is depend on God. Somebody here with me today? It's not in the results. It's in the process. Somebody say process. Your blessing is not when you have money in your pocket. But your blessing is what you went through when you didn't have a dime. Your blessing is not when you have cars to drive, but your blessing is what you went through when you had to walk or when you had cars in the yard and none of them would crank. Your blessing is not in your healing, but your blessing is what you went through when you were on your sick bed. That's why Job declared, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Because a true blessing is not when God steps in and changes the circumstance for you, but the real blessing is when God changes you for the circumstance. That's why you're called blessed. After. Somebody say after. After you've been through the storm. After you've gone through the pain, after you've gone through the disappointment, then God takes the bitter and makes it better. God takes the pain and gives us a plan. God takes the disappointment, gives us a destiny. But it's not until you've been through the process that you get elevated to a higher plane. You're no longer the same. Something about you is better than before. That's when you're called blessed. You see, the benefits of being blessed is perhaps our prayer life gets stronger. Your faith gets greater. Your joy is overflowing. Your hope becomes higher. Church, the blessing is not when there are always good results, but the real blessing resides in the process, what you went through. That's why I agree with the song that says, after all the things I've been through, I still got joy. It's when you can look back over your journey and see what could have been or what should have been. And it is when you can see what you went through and your soul begins to wonder how you got over, then you can cry out with this psalmist who said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would I be? I wonder if there's anybody in here has an if it had not been testimony. If it had not been for the Lord who pulled you out right in the nick of time. If it had not been for the Lord who opened up a door when you were about to give up. If it had not been for the Lord who fixed what you thought could never be repaired. If it had not been for the Lord who picked you up, turned you around, changed your life. If it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be here today. And so you gotta just appreciate that. And always remember that it was God who made a way out of no way. The 124th Psalm bears witness to the fact that deliverance is a blessing that we need to keep at the top of our list. You see, Israel was God's chosen people. And yet, they had to go through the process of being delivered. Yeah. They went from Pharaoh's brickyard, led by leaders, from Moses to Joshua, to the promised land. They were being ruled by a theocracy, which means they were God-governed. Yeah. And then they began to notice the other nations who were being ruled by a monarch or a king. Yes. And so they wanted to be like other folk, the other nations. And church, when we want to move from under God and take things into our own hands, a mess is about to break out. When the church, who is Israel, wants to emulate the world and move from being Christ-led, then the church is in trouble. When believers, the Israelites, act no different than the unbelievers and want to do any and everything they want to do. Walk on their own and no longer allow God to order your step, then you're headed for destruction. Israel, you know, went through periods of judges, and they wanted a king, and when they rejected God and when they were led by a king, the record reflects that not all of the kings that led them had a knowledge or belief in their God. And so oftentimes they were led into worshiping idol gods. But all of the struggles that Israel had to go through, it was because of their own doing. Sometimes it was because of who they were. They were chosen. Now, I'm going to stop this sermon right here, and then I'm going to start it again. Hear me. Church, there are times when you are picked out so that you can be picked on. There are times you are chosen to struggle, chosen to suffer, chosen to go through the trials of life, not because you're so bad or you've done anything to bring it on yourself, but so that God can bless you, so that you can be elevated, so that you can be equipped for better. Israel was put in captivity by the Babylonians and stripped and raped of her best people, of a worship of God, carried away because she was chosen. Somebody say chosen. And after the Babylonian captivity, Israel should have been just a memory. They had no altars to worship on. They were in captivity, no music in their soul. They cried out, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They were captured in prison. In church, I have come to know so many of God's children feel just like Israel. Captured. Many of God's children find themselves in a state of life that resembles Babylon. The rushing seas of life are moving like a flood. The tide is high. What they need is deliverance to be set free. And in order to get set free, it requires you to struggle. Church, are you willing to struggle for your blessing? The Bible bears me out that deliverance requires a struggle. You remember Jacob? Jacob had the wrestle with the angel until the breaking of day. And when the morning was about to peer through the clouds, the angel cried out, let me go. And Jacob said, no, no. I won't let you go till you bless me. Are you willing to fight for your Hannah, whose womb was not working, couldn't have a baby, and the women ridiculed her. Her husband Elkanah loved her, but she could not give him what in that day was considered what was the best thing a woman could give a man, and that was a child. And Hannah was barren, and she cried at the mercy seat of God. And then God heard a cry, gave us, son, are you willing to cry for your blessing? Job, come here, Job. Job lost everything, got sick, a breath away from death. And Job, in all that he went through, says, I'm going to wait till my change comes. Are you willing to lose all for your blessing? But it was through their endurance, their ability to hang on in there, their tenacity not to quit, that they were blessed. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but is given to the one who endures and hold on and hang on in there. But when you know that you have heaven's help, you will be able to make it through. You will be able to reach your destiny of deliverance. All you got to do is just go through the process. Three things I want to lift up, and then we're going home. The first thing about deliverance is that you are protected in the process. Lord, have mercy. Ain't nobody happy but me. You're protected in the process. The psalmist declared, when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Child of God, you'll be confronted with opponents in life that will seek to bring you to an undesired end of destruction. Because the enemy knows that if he can destroy you, you will not reach your divine destination. Yet the key word that will help you when you are attacked on the journey is the word remember. Somebody say remember. Remember that you didn't choose God. God chose you. And who God selects, watch this, who God selects, God protects. Lord, have mercy. Who God selects, God protects. You are under a divine protection from heaven. And that's when you will remember that the hand of God is over your life. And that's why you can declare, no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. Because God will be a fence all around you every day. And if God be for you, he's more than the world against you. You are protected. The second point is, you will overcome being overwhelmed. Lord, have mercy. In verses 4 and 5, it states that then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Hear me. When the enemy can't destroy you one way, he attempts another way. And one of the ways so many of God's children fail to reach their destiny and find themselves in the bondage of being overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed in this context is simply overcoming your fears. And one of the biggest areas of deliverance we as believers stand in need is, and that is overcoming our fears. Stop being scared. Daddy used to say, if you're scared by a dog, can't buy a dog because you're scared of a dog. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Got you stuck, bogged down in life. So many times we get stuck because we're afraid to move. Afraid of what people might think or what they might say. Afraid that we might fail. Another key word for us to remember is the word called bold. Somebody say bold.
Bold.
Bold is a state of action that represents your confidence in your outcome. I need to say that again. Bold is a state of action that represents your confidence in your outcome. When you're bold, you don't have faith in yourself. That's being brash. But when you're bold, your faith is in the one who has your back. An example of some bold, bodacious brothers was Meshach, Shadrach, and that bad Negro. You remember when they had to stand before the fiery furnace and the king said, you got a chance to get out of here. If you bow before me, they said, put us in. We ain't scared because the God we serve will deliver us. And when you're bold and you know God got your back, you can stand toe-to-toe with the enemy. You see, you trust God to bring you to the place that he promised you. When you're bold, you can step out on the water and walk while others stay in the boat. When you're bold, you don't hold back on God when times get tough. But when times are tough, you trust God to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why, David? Thou art with me. Is there anybody here who knows the Lord got your back? When you know the Lord has your back, you got the confidence to overcome being overwhelmed. And then finally, church, the last point this psalm teaches us concerning deliverance is that we must look for the escape exit. In verses 6 and 7, it says, blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. When the enemy can't destroy or overwhelm you, then he ratchet up a little higher. He tries to trap you. And a trap, it is a bondage hole of control. Who or what is controlling you? And what is controlling you is your trap. It is the lack of. Or it is the desire for. And unfortunately, so many of God's people are not free, but they find themselves trapped. Church, I heard the story of how two construction workers were on their lunch break. And one man opened up his lunch pail, and he unwrapped his sandwiches. And he cried out, and he threw the sandwich down. He said, baloney again. The other worker looked at him and said, well, brother, won't you tell your wife to stop fixing you bologna sandwiches? The man looked at him and replied, I'm not married. I fix these sandwiches myself. Church, much of the baloney in our lives, we have fixed it. Come on now. Bondage, like baloney, is because we have allowed ourselves to be trapped and controlled by that which God has already defeated. The key word to remember is get out. Somebody say get out. Get out of your trap. Get out of your bondage. God has made a way of escape for us. And one thing that is for sure, that when God opens up a door, all you got to do is make a move to go through. And when you come out greater than you were when you went in. So, church, remember, we have help. And our help is in the name of the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name, not your family's name, not your church's name, not your friend's name, but it's in the name of the Lord. And how many of you know his name? Is the sweetest name I know. His name is a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. But there's help in the name of the Lord. Remember where your help comes from. When you attack, remember your help is in the name of the Lord. And the Lord, I said the Lord, is a present help in times of trouble. You might be stuck, but you're coming out. It might look bad, but your breakthrough is on the way. All you gotta do is remember that name. Call him in the morning. Call him in the afternoon. Call him in the midnight hour. I called the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Is there anybody here who knows where your help comes from? Is there anybody here can testify? You called him, then the Lord stepped in right in the nick of time. Grandma said he may not come when you want him to come, but good God Almighty, he's always right on time. Jesus, somebody call him. Jesus, on your sick bed. Jesus, when your money's funny. Jesus, if you call him, he'll show up. And when the Lord shows up, how many of you know he will show up?